I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in.
Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2003 Disney Channel original movie, The Even Stevens Movie. Hey, no, no, no. The Stevens family are tricked into going on a vacation, which turns out to be the set of a new reality TV show called Family Fakeout, which all of their hometown friends are watching. When they first arrive on the island, Lewis is tricked into destroying a house they were meant to live in, thus making the islanders shun them, forcing the Stevens to live on their own. The family eventually separates into two groups, pitted against each other. Lewis's friends Twitty and Tawny make their way to the island to rescue the Stevens and make up for betraying them in Twitty's case. Twitty is caught by the family fakeout staff, though he manages to escape and shuts down the equipment monitoring the Stevens groups. Tawny, the eldest Stevens son, finds Tawny and tells the group the truth about their situation and how they're really on Catalina. They unite with Twitty to stop Ren from killing Lewis, because she believes he sold her and her new boyfriend out. Ren corners him on a cliff, despite the protests of the family and Miles McDermott, the show's host, and they tell her the truth. She pushes Lewis off the edge and to his apparent death, much to the viewers and the host's surprise. A helicopter appears and reveals that Lewis is safe and that the Stevens family has tricked Miles. Lewis had fallen into a net held by Tawny and Twitty. The family managed to get Ren in time, and she and Lewis teamed up together to get revenge on Miles for his actions. Later, the family returns home, and Ren, following Lewis's advice, starts dating the actor who played the part of the boy she liked on the island. The movie concludes with a voiceover by Beans, explaining what happened to everyone afterwards. Tawny attending college, Stephen returning to work, and Beans pops up at the Stevens dinner to disrupt it yet again. This movie was the ending to the Even Stevens show and concluded that storyline. After this brief break, we'll be back with Sarah to discuss the movie. Hey, no, no, no.
Even Stevens movie.
Yes.
Not what I was expecting, because I always thought that this also had the musical part of it with Ren's dream. No, but I was completely wrong.
I think that was just like an episode in the middle of the series. I think it was just like one of those like funky episodes.
So but yeah, Even Stevens movie. Yes. I remembered parts of it. Mm-hmm. I forgot that this was the ending to the show.
It was?
Yeah. Huh. Because this was how they ended the series, because they, all of the cast, because it was such a popular show. Uh-huh. And like I said, it had Shia LaBeouf. It had Christy Carlson Romano.
Yeah.
They were the stars of this thing. And they requested a pay raise and Disney wasn't going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
she was also the voice of Kim Possible at this time. Like, yeah, he was getting offers outside of Disney.
I think at this time too, wasn't he doing Holes?
Yep.
Around this time he did Holes, which kind of like,
which was a Disney movie.
Yeah. But also too, kind of like he wasn't in a lot of movies until Holes, and then he kind of like skyrocketed for a little bit because it was like Holes, then Transformers and all that stuff. So,
but yeah, so this was the ending to what was one of my favorite shows growing up.
I loved
Even Stevens. All right, I like, and do Beans. We start at the do we start at the beginning of the movie and just how this whole thing starts?
Yeah,
because I have so much to nitpick about the beginning of this movie, because I'm sorry, I have never been to a middle school where there is a graduation.
I always forget their middle school, like
it's set up like,
I can get like Shia LaBeouf's character, which I don't even know why I can't even think of his name right now.
Lewis,
yeah, but like the fact that Ren is older but she's still in like junior high, which is basically middle school up till
so she's graduating eighth grade.
Yeah, and then it's like, wait a minute, I thought because they had an older brother who was like in high school, but Donnie, but like you always thought that he was like in college because he was so much older, and but like you just think everybody's older, then you realize that's like her basically middle school graduation.
Yeah, I just, it just felt way too, like, the actors don't even look like the age they're supposed to be. Like,
of course not.
They look unfortunately, so much older. Like, she totally looks like she's in her 20s. So,
I think she was at this time, though.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
But it just, it threw me. And I was just like, wait, she's graduating eighth grade. And it's got this much pomp and circumstance.
I know, right? Like, our eighth grade graduation was just letting us get on the bus and, like, all the teachers waving to us, like, bye!
Like, it like, just...
We never had an eighth grade graduation.
I couldn't compute.
No.
I did like, the prank, though, and how Beans was involved with it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really cute. Because... I just love that instead of confetti, it would have been a cute little thing. Right. Okay, Lewis, like you're not trying to completely destroy the day.
Right. You're still trying to like, you know.
But it's spaghetti and the coach just starts eating it. And I'm just like, oh God.
And like, let's talk about the coach's name, Coach Tugnut. Like, come on. Ugh.
But.
And, like, I get the whole, like, you know, middle school, but, like, throughout the series, for the most part, Ren had, like, a serious boyfriend. It's like, who in eighth grade had, like, a serious boyfriend in eighth grade? Like, high school I could see, but, like, girl, like, you're in eighth grade.
Yeah, I just, all the characters just, they were too old, like, and you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a child labor thing, so yeah. Okay, whatever, we'll go with it.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
so this is the ending to a 3-season series. They won awards, so yeah, I mean, this is the first one I think that a DCOM ended a series or is part of a series, right?
Because
Kim Possible was after it. Proud Family was after it.
Well, I think Kim Possible was kind of in between.
No, I'm sorry. Jet Jackson was first.
Jet Jackson the movie. Was first. But Kim Possible too, I think, was in between, because the first Kim Possible movie was, it didn't end the series because they had another one after.
But the second movie was never considered a DCOM.
Oh, no.
Because we did So the Drama, which was the first one.
Yeah, that was like in the middle of the series or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what got them their final season.
Yeah.
So, well, because we had this was in 2003. So yeah, so Jet Jackson is Jet the Jackson only first. Show movie that
I loved the famous Jet Jackson. It. I love the famous Jet Jackson. Such a good show.
So yeah, I mean, I think it definitely was a good ending mm-hmm. for them because it does Ren's moving to high school, Donnie's going to college.
Yeah.
And Lewis is just Lewis.
And Tawny, because like Tawny and Lewis had like a thing. I can't remember if it was in this series or in this movie.
They kind of hint to it in the movie. I don't remember if it actually happened in the series.
I think they had like a short, like a couple episodes worth of it. It's been a while since I've actually watched the whole series start to finish, but I think they definitely had like a thing. So,
okay. So as much as we could talk about the show, because we could talk about how much I think that Alan and Ren end up together in high school. Because that's a thing. And Alan, of course, played by the same actor who was Larry in Don't Look Under the Bed.
So. Yes.
All right.
So. And he was in Kim Possible. Josh Mankey. He was a one-time love of Kim Possible.
Sorry. That's how I get my Larry and my Ren then.
Yeah. I just Googled it real fast.
But yeah, so I love this whole idea that Lewis loves prank shows mm-hmm. and ends up on a prank show.
Oh, it's perfect for him.
And of course, Twitty is the one who puts him up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's such a great premise.
Yeah.
Because like anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Especially with Lewis. Like, there's nothing Lewis can't touch that will actually stay normal. But yeah, anything that like Lewis touches gets destroyed, no matter what it is. I think in this one, doesn't he like destroy a sacred palace or some shit like that?
So yeah. He just can't. Wait, help
was that himself. Set up or did he actually destroy?
It was a setup. It was a setup. Yeah, it was all part of the setup.
Yeah.
But so Ren gets dumped. So she ends up saying she'll babysit Beans, not realizing that his parents are going to Helsinki for 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
They then get invited to go on this all expenses paid trip to some desert, like untouched island. And I love the setup that they're just like, yeah, and then you're gonna see white people because it also has shipwrecked sailors' families on it too. I'm like, oh my god. Like they did cover their butts doing that.
Ugh. To make it make sense, but also too, let's be real, this prank show, like, was it called Family Fake Out?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be like if it was real, it would be like pretty chill to watch. Like I would totally be down for watching this show.
But yeah, so they split the family into two groups.
Uh-huh.
It goes very Lord of the Flies for a while.
Yeah.
You have the natural split between Ren and Lewis, but and Dad, and then Beans goes with Ren and Dad, and Donnie is with Mom and Lewis.
Yep.
And I love that they made Donnie not so stupid in this.
I know, like I always feel bad. Because I also think they're trying to get like that football, because he was a football jock, football, wrestling, all that kind of stuff, baseball I think at one point, so like they're trying to play the high school jock, but I feel like in the series they just made him too stupid, like just too dumb, and you're just like I love Donnie, but like I liked him in this movie because he was smarter. They made him, like you said, they made him smarter than in the show, where he was just like, they played too much into that dumb jock vibe for him. And it was just like, all right, enough's enough. Like, he can't be this stupid.
Yeah.
Although, you know.
And I love that they then play into the fact that everyone thinks he's stupid, so they make him seem crazy. Because he recognizes someone who he went to school with as one of the actors. And I just love that they're just like, yeah, no, put on your school sweater, like, pretend, like, make him think he's hallucinating.
Yeah.
And so then he finds Tawny, and he's just like, see, I'm not crazy.
Right? I'm not crazy. So. Poor Donnie. I feel like he always gets the short end of the stick. Like, all the time. But I also think, too, that was that one character, because Ren is so smart that, like, they also kind of needed, like, not that Lewis wasn't a good counterbalance to Ren, but I think family dynamic wise, it was like Ren was so smart. You had like Ren, who was so smart, so academically inclined, and you had Lewis, who was always a screw up. I feel like you needed that family dynamic of Donnie being the dumb jock to like balance everything out, because then it would just be like too much between Ren and Lewis.
Agreed.
But I love it.
I did really like, they brought up the fact that their father lost his job. And so he wasn't working, but the mom was a state senator. And kind of that dynamic of, well, I need to be providing for my family too. And right now I'm between jobs. Right. And the kind of stress that brings up. And you don't see that a lot in kids' movies. And, like, they explicitly talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what was he doing? What was his job in the show? I can't remember.
He was a lawyer.
That's right. I forgot. I knew it was something like that. But, again, it's been so long since I've seen the show that I've actually was like, wait, what was his job before? Like, I knew the mom was a state senator in some kind of Senate role, but I always forgot what the dad did. But, and let's talk about the mom. Like, I love the mom. She's, like, so, like, no hold, like, badass.
The last two, well, I mean, I guess we could talk about Beans.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not really one of the Stevens.
But he kind of, is, because that once they introduce his character, because I think they introduce him midway through the first season, he just like, because he's like a neighbor or something, and then like,
he's their next door neighbor.
But like once he introduced him, he's like basically at the Stevens house every day, so he's like an honorary Stevens.
Well, the way they worked him into the show, he was very much like, if Lewis was this like Frankenstein genius when it came to pranks, then Beans was his Igor.
Yes.
So I did enjoy that dynamic. And even in this movie, it's really funny because when they spend the first night in the lean-to, Beans wakes everyone up by farting and Lewis is like right behind him.
Yep.
And he's just like,
But it's always like, but it's like you said, I see Beans as like even though he's not like a Stevens, he's like an honorary Stevens, because it's like wherever the Stevens go, he goes, whether he's breaking into their house or he basically lives at the house, even though he lives right next door. He's like always at their house and going on vacation with them. It's like crazy. But I also like Beans' character. Like, I think he and Lewis play well together. Like,
oh yeah,
play off each other well. Where it's like they get each other into trouble, but it's always like stupid shit that they do that you're like, really? You walked into that? Did you like the movie?
I did. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's not my least favorite.
Right. Same.
I didn't. hate it by any means, but again, like, I feel bad considering last week I was also like, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Kind of middle of the road. It's the same thing with this one. And I remember loving the show so much.
Yeah.
So my nostalgia for that definitely made me enjoy this more than Princess Protection Program.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still just kind of underwhelmed.
Well, I also think too that, like, I never, not that I never liked the movie, I like the show more than the movie. Like, even though it was the culmination of the show and stuff, I always liked the show itself more than this movie, actually. Yes. So it was like I could do without, I could just do with like a 1 hour series finale as opposed to a 93 minute movie or whatever about, like, because also too, it was kind of like off the wall. Like, this movie was like coming out of like left field. Like, I know.
I don't agree with that because, I mean, they do set the premise that Lewis is a huge fan of these shows.
Yeah.
So Twitty is just like, oh, hey, Lewis loves these shows. He's really going to enjoy the fact that he's going to be the victim on one of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole premise is set up. Of course, you don't know how they originally get chosen, but so that premise is already set up. So we know there's going to be some ridiculous stuff going down because we know that this is a reality show from the get-go. Like, as the opening credits come in, we see that they are the family that's going to be picked.
Mm.
So on a narrative sense, this entire movie is perfectly done. And with the fact that the characters are exactly how we see them on the show.
Yeah.
It's a great continuation of the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on that premise, I enjoy it. I actually, if you look at it that way, I enjoy it more than the Wizards of Waverly Place movie.
Yeah, that, but that one was a tough one to, we'll get into that when we talk about, like, when it comes up, but like, it's also like, what, it's also different, like, it's almost like it's not connected to the show at all.
But they're,
it's like,
they're very similar movies, but and we said it on the episode about the Wizards of Waverly Place movie, it felt very disconnected.
Yeah,
like the same sets that we were used to seeing on the show were used in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their house was the exact same set,
right?
Their school was the exact same set. We've seen these sets. It did not feel
It felt like a continuation.
Whereas the other one, it did. So maybe I have to rethink my rating because I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to give this middle of the road. But if you look at it in that sense, and even plot-wise, once they're on the island, it makes sense. You have the mom and dad. That's something we've never seen before in a Disney movie. And pretty much any children's programming, we don't actually have the parents talking about these issues.
Yeah, but again, that's also Disney too, where they're always like one step ahead and they're talking more about, but like,
then they kind of backtracked issues because we never really saw it again.
Yeah, this was this was
very progressive in that sense. And then on top of it, you have the continued, it's now heightened a little bit, but the continued rivalry between Ren and Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time, you know, they butt heads. She is very type A. He is very type B.
Yeah.
They are always going at odds with each other. And in this, you just kind of up the stakes because it's a survival thing.
Right.
Which leads to the ending of the movie where you think, oh God, like, she actually snapped. And she killed her brother.
And it was all made up.
But at that point, we don't know if the family had caught up to them because of the commercial break.
Right.
So we don't, because the family finds out because Twitty finds that. Well, Twitty doesn't find them. They find Twitty. But Tawny finds them and is able to explain what's going on. And it just kind of all circles around. And it is wrapped up pretty nicely.
Yeah. They, I mean, I will say they do end the series in this movie, like, with no cliffhangers, no, like, oh, they could have had another season where, like,
It could have. And that's the thing. I think they were in contract negotiations at this when they made this movie.
Yeah.
Because they left it so that you could either go on with the series
or just end it where Yeah, which is good because like a lot of movies that are like mid-series like this, they always leave you with like a hanger and it's like you never find out. There's never any like conclusion. It never really finishes. It's just kind of like, well, we're done.
Yeah.
Like the series is canceled, so we're done. But I will say too, there used to be a show on a sidetrack called Timeless where they had two seasons and then it was one of those ones where it was like kind of spread out between seasons because not a lot of people watch it, but the ratings were still good enough to do another season. But at the end of season two, they left it on a cliffhanger like they were going to come back for season three and they canceled the series, but they did like a one-time 2-hour series finale movie, which wrapped everything up so nice. It was like one of the best endings of a show I've ever liked, where they actually like ended a canceled a show, but came back and kind of like wrapped everything up for the audience. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I can live with this, as opposed to like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of shows are just like, oh, we canceled. You figure it out on your own. And you're like, what? Like Kim Possible. They wrapped that one up pretty nicely, but still it was kind of like open-ended. But
yeah.
But again, that wasn't a DCOM, so it wasn't considered a DCOM, I should say.
Well, because the DCOM ended up saving the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll always bring that up. The Kim Possible, so the drama saved the show.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I was, and I'll say it again, I was originally thinking I was going to give this movie a 5, but in comparison to what I gave the other one, which had a very similar plot, which was Wizard of Waverly Place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I gave that a 5. Like, so I might give,
because it was definitely like middle of the road.
Yeah, I might be giving this a 6, just because I feel like it's better.
Uh huh.
But I still had enough issues with it too.
Yeah,
and like it's not something that I'm instantly going to be like, oh, I want to watch this movie.
Right. It's one of those ones that, yeah, like you said, it's not one of the movies I'm going to go straight to.
Oh my God. I just thought of something else that really bugged me.
What?
Okay. So Ren has a romance on the island. Mm-hmm. His name is, I think it's Jason.
Yeah. But I think he goes, what was I looking up?
Well, he has his character's name on the show.
Mutai but, is his yeah, character's
but
name.
His actual name is Jason.
Yeah.
And that's how they end it. She ends up with this guy. And I'm like, she's a freshman in high school and he looks like he's like 20.
I know. That was the other one.
They're like.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. Come on, Disney. Let's get with the program. But again, look at them. They don't look like freshman in high, like a freshman in high school.
She
really
looks like she's a senior in college,
right? Or like at least a senior in high school, or maybe a freshman in college, like at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, come on, people. But like, look at Donnie. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
And he's like a senior in high school. You're like, wait a minute, hold up.
Oh gosh,
that's one of my issues I had. But again, it happens a lot in shows, is like I think that the age group that they cast these people in, like what's her name, Christy Carlson Romano, like I understand the show had its set premise, but maybe they could have made it where, like, instead of her being in middle school or junior high, whatever, that she could have been maybe like in high school, because they look so much older. Like, maybe Lewis could pass for 8th grade, 9th grade, possibly. But I think like they could have done a better job with maybe formatting the show and the movie to like kind of fit their age groups.
Agreed.
Like what they look like, as opposed to, you but know,
it's the norm across.
Oh yeah,
anything that takes place with younger actors, like with younger that, characters.
Like, yeah, and that, like, I know that and I understand that, but again too, it's just like, this was one of the shows that did that had like a huge variation in ages, where, like, you know, Krista Castro Romano could play somebody at this point, she was in her 20s, I believe, it had to be, where she's playing somebody who's like just getting into high school, so it was like, it could have been a little better, but again, it's the norm across the board, it happens,
yeah,
especially if they look so young,
yep.
So, like, Shia LaBeouf, he looks so young.
So I did want to bring up Shia LaBeouf because I am not a huge fan of him in like Transformers and things like that. There are a few movies that I've seen him in and I absolutely adore him in. One of them, of course, being Holes. And he did another movie. Did it come out last year?
I know what you're talking about.
I'll put it in the show notes, but I can't think of the name of it. But he's ends up with this kid who's running away who has Down syndrome.
Peanut butter Falcon or something like
that. Okay, yes, that one.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed him in that. And you forget like what a good actor he is because of some of the movies he's had to do. But then you look at the one that he wrote and starred in as his own father, mind you. About what it was like being that child star. And my God, my heart just goes out to the guy. Like,
yeah,
he was such a talent and that entire situation was just so messed up. And
And it's like, and like, not that all child stars are like this, but you see it commonly in child stars, like oh my God, the kid in Home Alone. Why can't I think
Macaulay.
Of it? Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, he went downhill.
Well, and it's not even that they went downhill. It's because, have you seen the movie that I'm talking about that he wrote and directed?
No.
And starred in.
I've heard about it. I haven't watched it.
So it's literally about how, like, his parents divorced and then he was living with his dad and he was literally the bread provider as the child.
Yeah.
And it was just,
but like you see it a lot. It's like these child actors, no matter what age they are, they get into acting and they, because they're making more than their parents, they end up becoming the breadwinner. And a lot of times their parents put so much pressure on them that, like, look at, I mean, Justin Timberlake turned out well, but like, look at Britney Spears, look at Macaulay Culkin, look at a lot of, Hillary Duff had a thing, but it wasn't so severe. But like,
Well, you don't know because, like, until Shia LaBeouf made this movie, we didn't know what happened to him. But you have stars who have kind of really taken a step back because of what happened to them.
Yeah, Demi Lovato did that on her own. Like, she'd seen herself and knew she needed rehab and therapy and all this help, and she took the steps on her own. Where some actors don't get that opportunity.
Well, I'm thinking even further back. You look at Will Wheaton. Look at Talas and Jaffe. You look at Joaquin and River Phoenix. I mean, shit, River Phoenix ended up killing himself.
Yeah.
And
a lot of it has
always been a problem. And unfortunately, like, looking back at this now and looking at even Stevens and looking at some of these movies he made when he was still underage and being pushed, like, my heart goes out to Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah. And I think Shia was the first person to ever, I mean, there have been actors and actresses who have talked about their struggles, but I think Shia LaBeouf is been the first person to actually write, direct, star in a movie about all the struggles he went through. And like, you can talk about it till you're blue in the face, but once you actually portray it and show people how hard it is, and they can like where they can see it and kind of understand it more than you know, everybody just talking about it and just seeing Macaulay Culkin go from this really cute kid to getting into the drugs and getting into all the stuff that, you know, screws up everybody's career and life as a young adult slash going into changing because their voices change, all the hormones, everything that made them that you go through, you start losing. Like there was singer, he was young, he was a country singer. Again, it's been a long day at work. I can't think of his name. He was on The Voice a couple seasons ago.
Billy Gilman
from Rhode Island. He also went through that too, where he was a cute child singer with an awesome voice, high pitch, but then he kind of had to take a step back and his career kind of went downhill. He just stopped getting all these opportunities because his voice was changing and all this stuff. So his career as a child star had changed too. So it's like, you see the aftermath but you don't actually see like what they're going through personally behind the scenes until you actually like watch it on camera.
Well, even just the psyche of having to get into the mindset of his father at that time, like, Jesus Christ, like, yeah. He really is an amazing artist. Oh, and yeah. He's also brought up the fact that Disney wanted him to have a recording career. And he was just like, no, I can't hold a tune. Like, leave me the heck alone.
Even though he's saying at the end of this movie.
But so that was kind of what went through my head during this whole thing. And
oh, yeah.
It was enjoyable.
Yep, I enjoyed it.
It's just not one that I reach for. And looking back at it, I see a lot of trauma.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. All right. So I'm giving it 6 stars.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to rate this?
I think I'm going to give it 6.5.
Okay. Hey. No. No. Hey. No. 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 Alright friends, so that was our discussion on the Even Stevens movie. Please feel free to join in on the conversation. You can email us at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. You can also find us on Instagram, and please feel free to let us know your thoughts. We'd really appreciate it if you listen on Apple Podcasts or not. If you can give us a rating over there, it would really help us out. And with that being said, look forward to Sunday for a super special episode for Halloween, and we are going to be discussing Halloween Town. All right, with that being said, I hope you all have a great day. Keep smiling, friends, and we'll see you next time. Hey, no, no, no.